Are we done with the editing challenge? Not if our judges have anything to say about it, and they have a lot to say about it. Which of our final four contestants did the best job editing our audio into a podcast? And which of those contestants will be leaving the competition? It's all coming up right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello, I'm Brian Ibbett, and welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. We've gotten to challenge number 9 of the competition, and our final four of David, Kristen, Gabriel, and Bobby have just spent the last week editing some trap-laden interview audio into a podcast. On today's show, you'll hear judges Scott and Justin, joined by season 1 contestant Joe Hood, review each of this week's submissions. In addition to picking a winner for the week, they also have the horrible job of having to send someone home. But before we get to any of that stuff, Tom Merritt gave his impressions after meeting with the contestants.
Dave has the most developed idea of the three. He's already got a name. He knows exactly what he wants to use. I think he's probably farther ahead than the rest of them at this point. Of course, there's still lots of time for them to catch up, but I think he's got the jump on them. Get it? Jumping on point. And I think he's got a really strong concept too. The worst things that I could come up with him were these, you know, kind of strange judges' objections that he was cheating by only using 3 minutes. I don't really think that's a serious possibility. So if he executes it well and he's got a good through line and solid content, I think he's got a really strong concept. Bobby always does these things well. It always sounds a little bit, I've noticed on his teamwork, like maybe too safe of an idea, and then he nails it. So just narrating and pulling bites from an interview, that seems like the obvious thing to do, but he's got the chops to do it. We've seen that before. He can definitely, as Justin said last week, he can carry a team, and now he's carrying himself. I think he probably does need a good hook to be able to kind of push it over the top if he wants to win this thing. And hopefully he'll be able to make that happen. Gabe seems to have the right idea, which is to show off editing chops, because I mean, he doesn't know this, but I know this. The other three aren't planning on doing that, which is smart for them, but he seems to feel like he should do that. And I was trying to find out if he feels confident enough to do that, because if you are confident enough, you absolutely should do that. Because if you can pull off a nice, clean interview without adding anything to it out of this mess that they've given him, that's going to be impressive on its own. And then it's just a matter of did it make sense? Did it cohere? Was it you know, listenable as content? So I was trying to get to that, and he seemed to be a little unsure. Hopefully that's just, you know, him spinning his wheels, thinking about stuff, and once he gets into it, he'll really nail it down. He sounded like he expected that we all worked on you know, 15 track Pro Tools machines with compressors. So I tried to disabuse him of that notion. Like, hey man, I do Audacity too, so you could totally do this. I'd be very interested if he pulls this off, how the judges decide between these other more conceptual approaches and his straight ahead approach. Kristen was having a little trouble, I think, deciding whether her idea was the right one or not. Seems like we settled on the female subject matter expert. And I think her big advantage there is this is a topic that she is very obviously interested in and can, and as she said, add her own insights to. So I think that is a great way to go. Also a little bit of editing fear there, because she hasn't done a lot of it, which is fair. But the topic that she wants to do doesn't sound like it's a huge editing challenge. So I'm thinking she'll be fine, and I can't wait to hear what she comes up with.
With audio cables connected everywhere, do you ever feel like you're a traffic cop directing Skype over here and directing your microphone over there? Whoa, stop right there, browser window autoplay. Rogue Amoeba's got the solution, and it's called Loopback. Loopback lets you direct the audio from any application on your Mac to anywhere you want it to go. Want Discord to talk to Zencastr? Just drag a virtual cable from one to the other. Want to keep your browser sounds out of your podcast? Easy. Loopback is like a wire switchboard built into an application without having to dig through your drawer of cables looking for just what you need. And right now, Rogue Amoeba wants to give you a discount on your purchase of Loopback. Use the code ANTP20 to save 20%. You can use that code for 20% off of any of the other podcast tools like Fission, Audio Hijack, and Farrago, or you can use it to save 20% off the already discounted Ultimate Podcast Bundle. That code again is ANTP20. Visit rogueamoeba.com to learn more.
Hello, Hammond Chamberlain, producer of America's Next Top Podcaster. Today, I want to talk to you about EQs. Now, there are those that come built in with your digital audio workstation, and they're fine. There are free ones, and they can be fine. But one of the ones that I have discovered is the Q10 from Waves. I discovered the Q10 during the first season of America's Next Top Podcaster, and it instantly changed the way I worked and used equalization. Now, the Q10 is a flexible paragraphic EQ that gives you 10 bands of equalization. It can be used as two mono EQs or as a tool for precise surgical repairs to problems that arise in the studio or in the field. There also are filters that can be used to color your sound and add effect, both subtle and really pronounced. Out of the box, the Q10 has an amazing collection of presets. Once you've found one that is close to what you want, you can go in and make the changes to get exactly the sound you need, and then save it so you can use your preset whenever you need it. The Q10 has been an important part of my mixing of this season of America's Next Top Podcaster, but where it's really earned its place in my home is with the other shows I do. Because of the wide variety of sound quality, mic quality, and location that my guests might be talking to me from, I have had to go in and do a ton of repairs to make the sound, in many cases, usable, let alone sound good. With 10 bands and 6 filter types, you have thousands and thousands of possibilities to tweak your sounds. And like with every Waves plugin, the information you see and can interact with is easy to understand and make quick alterations if you need. America's Next Top Podcaster would like to thank Waves for their support and their prize of the gold package of plugins for this season's winner. To learn more about the Q10 or buy your own, follow the link in the show notes or go to waves.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shure, a leader in professional audio equipment. The winner of America's Next Top Podcaster will receive Shure's SRH840 professional monitoring headphones, an important part of anybody's podcast studio. Why is it important? Well, sure, there's the obvious reason that you need headphones to be able to listen to your show as you produce it, but let's talk comfort. The average podcast is about 45 minutes long, and we all know that you record for a lot longer than that to produce a solid 45 minutes of show. That's why comfortable ear cups and a padded headband are crucial to staying comfortable while you record, edit, or just kick back and listen to your show. Add in thoughtful details like the removable coiled cable and the padded storage bag, and you've got the ultimate podcast studio headphones. The Shure SRH840s, which you can find right now by visiting Shure.com. Thank you, Tom. It is time now for the judging elimination portion of our show. I'm here, as always, with our judges, Scott Johnson.
Hello and hi.
And Justin Robert Young.
Good evening to you, friends.
Jenny Josephson out again this week, but we are definitely looking forward to having her back for next week. She got stuck on a recording session with another show. She's not committing to the IBIT is the problem. She's committing to a far different bit.
To the IBIT.
You got to commit to the IBIT. Is the new way we're going to talk about this. So this week we gave our players the challenge of editing somebody else's audio. We had Joe Hood from last season of America's Next Top Podcaster come in and record an interview with Jason and Ashley from the Red Shirt Diaries, fraught with problems, staged, planned hiccups that our players all had to navigate their way around. Did either of you guys listen to the original audio? It wasn't a requirement. I wanted all the judges to be completely coming into this like a listener would, where they didn't hear any of this. But if one of them wanted to listen to it, or two wanted to listen to it, I was going to allow it.
I didn't listen to the entirety of it, but I did hear a bit of it. And it was good. It was good because it gave me a better sense of
some context.
Where, and where some of the bits actually came from. And I'd hear, when I hear repeating bits, it was good to get the context of where those bits originated, and I liked it.
Sure.
Yeah, I listened to all four, and I felt that was enough, because there's definitely a lot of repeated stuff.
Well, and that's going to be the case when you give people an interview to edit down, and there's going to be some big chunks of meat in there that everybody's going to kind of settle on, but then there's going to be some flavor text that's or flavor copy that goes around the side that you kind of interchange between the different interviews. It was a lot of fun though, getting working with Hammond and Joe to come up with all of these issues, and we even coached Jason and Ashley beforehand with the interview. Obviously, we told them the purpose of this. But we also gave them some things that they planned on doing, like leaving the interview halfway through and talking about a cat that was stuck under the couch and giving some information during the interview that you wouldn't find out you couldn't use for the interview until after the interview, which was a nice little landmine to plant.
So Jason, Ashley, and I did a lot to mess up the interview. We had rambling answers, rambling questions. We had bad mic etiquette with burps and scratches and wandering away from the mic. We had interruptions, you know, the UPS truck, their cat, my son. So we tried to throw a lot of mess in there. And one of the things I did was purposefully not follow Jenny's instructions. I did not stick to a bit. I had a rambling and, you know, expansive list of questions to let them try to piece it together. I was looking for two things, really, out of the submissions. One was to make me not look like an idiot. And along with that, make Ashley and Jason present it in a way that would make them want to come back on the show. So make the three of us look good in the best way possible. And the second one was, could you make something coherent out of the deliberately meandering content that we provided you with?
Why don't we go ahead and jump right into the reviews? And we're going to go ahead and start with the Jumping On Point podcast produced by Dave Luzader. Hello, David.
Hello.
Tell me the concept. I'm so used to going right into credits. I can't go to credits because you did everything except for Joe, who did the interview. But you did the editing, you did the concept. So tell me about the concept behind Jumping On Point.
So Jumping On Point is a sort of podcast version of something that happens in comic book shops where people want to read a certain storyline or want to get into a certain comic. And it can be, you can just go over and pick up whatever is new on the shelf and muddle your way through and figure it out. But usually you want to find out where a good place to start with. And that's kind of the idea behind Jumping On Point, is giving people that place to begin with a particular storyline or comic.
This is a really cool thing, because as a comic book reader, I'll do this sort of thing where instead of looking for a series, I'll just look for a story arc and say, okay, give me the story arc of House of X or the Spider-Verse saga, things like that, where instead of saying, all right, where I'm going to start reading Spider-Man from issue one, I just want a good place to start. So this is a really interesting concept, and one that I really liked. You did some interesting audio tricks with your audio, where you had overlapping audio as you're giving a list to kind of give the impression that you were delivering a really long list, kind of like you'd see visually in a show with a montage.
Yeah.
The equivalent of a montage with audio, which I thought was really clever. And then nailing down a specific point, for example, you know, figuring out that this is going to be about Jumping On Point, taking something that Jason had talked about and then very specifically pinpointing on that. Had you been settled on that idea the whole time, as far as not just editing down the interview and just calling it an interview show, or what other ideas did you have for how to frame this, the interview?
Well, I know a little bit about Jason and Ashley beforehand, so I got excited because I used to do a comic book podcast where I would do interviews. So I thought, oh, great, they're going to talk about their comics. I can frame an interview with that, listen to it. That never gets brought up once. There's not a whole lot. The interview is kind of all over the place and doesn't settle on anything. So I couldn't really theme an interview idea. And I was maybe going to do like people who work in collaboration, but there wasn't, again, any depth to that. And then I was just kind of thinking outside the box, and I asked you that point of clarification at some point, which was, does this need to be an interview show? And you said no. And so I started thinking, okay, what of this can I use in a show that isn't an interview show, but the audio still works?
Right. Yeah, very good. And it was a very clever thing. Actually, a couple of you asked me about that, and we'll talk about that with the other contestants as well. The other thing I was going to ask you about, deciding how much of the audio to leave in, did you feel like there was a certain amount where if you felt like you took out too much, it wouldn't have felt like you were satisfying the requirements of the challenge, or...
Yeah, I definitely wanted the audio to be a big part of it, and I took out what I could use and cut and rearranged audio to make it work with how I wanted it without changing what he was saying, of course, just kind of putting it in a way that made sense with how I was structuring things. I would have loved to use more, but Ashley Victoria Robinson didn't read any of the comic and didn't contribute to that part of it. So she had some stuff that I actually would have liked to have used, yeah. But it there was no reason for her within the idea of the show for her to be there. So I had to decide to cut her out. Yeah.
I think you were the person, at least the person that I spoke to, that found out while we were talking that the whole thing was staged.
Yeah.
I think it might have come up with somebody else while we were chatting in Discord, but you were the person, actually, you can hear the point in our conversation where you realized that the interview was staged and that it wasn't, that it was intended to be this bad.
Yeah, and I can't believe I transcribed the whole thing and can't believe I didn't figure that out while I was doing that.
Oh, awesome. Well, I love this. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the actual judges' reviews. Let's start with Scott.
All right, you won the week for me, barely. and I don't mean that as in you were like really low with somebody else. You guys both, the two that just about beat each other were right up top for me, and yours won. And it won... partially because of what you just said. So I was actually happy to hear you say this. You made a hard editorial decision based on what information you had, what interview you had, and limited knowledge about whether you're being set up or not. And I think it paid off for you. I think that was smart use. I think using Jason was the right stuff for what you were trying to do with the show. I felt like the show had a purpose and you were going to stick to that purpose. And it came through to me. It comes through even more now hearing you say that. I think it was exactly the right amount of interview to include. It was also a fun primer. I learned some stuff I didn't know. I love the X-Men, but I don't know enough about all of it. It's also huge and kind of untenable sometimes. And so to hear somebody break it down like that made me wish there was a show like this for other series that I would want to get into. Mm-hmm. In fact, it sounds like the perfect template for that kind of thing. Your choice to do the kind of talking over yourself to show just how much is happening and how complicated it is a good choice, except I think the execution was a little rough. Mm-hmm. At first, I kind of just thought there was an error, and I went, someone had a file overlap and didn't know it in their editing, and that'll probably ding him. And then I realized, he's trying to come, he's doing an effect here, which is, you know, these cross voices are sort of all this information is coming at you so fast. And I totally got your point. After I kind of settled in with it, but I think they could use some tweak, but a good idea. Honestly, it's about the only negative thing I have to say, because I think you had a topic, you had a concept and criteria, and you executed on it, and you made hard editorial choices to make it adhere to your vision. And I applaud that. And I think it went really well. So good job this week.
Thank you.
Very good. Let's move over to Justin.
All right. I said at the end of last week's episode that I would reward the shortest podcast this week. Yours was the shortest, and so therefore there will be no, well, minimal crosswords from me. By and large, I was not really a gigantic fan of anybody's work this week. I'll go ahead with Scott and say the... talking over effect number one didn't sound particularly well executed, and then you did it again right afterward, which I think whenever you're doing something that is meant to be paid attention to repeat it immediately, I think makes both instances less special and therefore less important. I like the idea as we are talking about it. I like the concept as we are talking about it now. Listening to it, it felt a little bit more like just a general explanation of what happens in comic books, and X-Men was just an example to do it. So it in practice, it didn't ring out as coherent as we are kind of discussing it now, at least for me. And I think you took about half the episode before we got to the sound. I think that there's ways that you can make the entire concept feel more impactful by teasing that just a touch earlier. That being said, you did the one thing that I asked, and for that, I am eternally grateful.
Well, thank you, and you're welcome.
Keep it short and simple. Yes, very good. Right. Okay. Joe also had some review comments to make. He's actually listening in this episode. His microphone's not working, so he is a silent partner. But his comments were...
So, Dave, you had a strong concept with, I think, lots of possibility for future episodes. I think that was really intriguing with the where to jump in on comics. I think your execution was so-so. Like, I'm not sure you ever actually declared that the new X-Men series was a good spot to jump in. You talked around it, but you never definitively put a flag down and said, yes, jump in here. And the audio game with lists overlapping made me think that my computer was broken. Like it detracted from the story. It didn't help. You had plenty of time to let that breathe, and you didn't need to play that game there. I also think you introduced Jason like twice in the same 15-second window. Those were all small things. For me, the biggest thing is that you erased Ashley and myself. Now, editing me out was entirely appropriate, but not acknowledging the work of your colleague kind of stinks. But I think more importantly, Ashley spent the time to be in the interview with Jason, and you didn't even mention her name as a co-author or in any other way. And she actually, her laugh shows up in one of his answers. Like she's there somehow. And I would be worried if she would want to come back on the show after putting that kind of effort in and being pulled off completely.
You also said X-Men a lot. It's not a big deal, except I was actually thinking of this, you know, because they always tell you in writing classes, come up with other words for the words you need to use all the time.
Sure.
I don't know what other words you'd use for X-Men. These mutants or these characters. Like
Marvel's merry band of mutants. Sure, you could use that one.
I guess what I'm saying is I feel for you on that because I think that's tricky.
So I will say originally when I'm wrapping up and talking about the Dawn of X, when I first recorded that, I said Dawn of X like four times and listening to it in like a 10-second clip. I'm like, nope, gotta redo that. And then I did kind of feel that listening to it back. Like I say X-Men a lot, but I didn't want to have to go back and, you know, redo the entire episode. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how you do a show about jumping on point of an X-Men series and not say X-Men a lot, but there are ways, I guess. Yeah, there are ways around it. And I think Stanleyizing it and saying, you know, Professor X and his team, when you're describing the team versus an issue called X-Men or a series called X-Men or X-Men Prime or Uncanny X-Men, things like that. Okay, makes sense. All right. Hey, thank you very much, David. We will be back to you in a little bit. Kristen is up next in her show, Femme Fatales. Hello, Kristen.
Hi.
Tell me the concept behind Femme Fatales.
So being from the being from a girl gamer and a girl LARPer, I can definitely relate to somebody that's been in the industry and makes themselves known and knowledgeable. So I think I've actually listened to Geek History Lesson for several years now. So I knew Ashley and I knew Jason from their body of work, and just really respect Ashley for what she's made Geek History Lesson with Jason out to be. So I really wanted to kind of focus on that. And Tom kind of geared me in that way since I've never done any editing. And that's where Femme Fatales came from.
Yeah, you had the biggest hurdle to get over, I think, this week with being the one of the four remaining contestants who is the least familiar with editing software. How did you get through that?
There might have been some tears. There might have been some crying and wanting to quit. But I kind of like muscled up and fortified and made it happen and created what I created.
Very good. Well, the editing sounded great to me. I was really impressed with that, especially for someone who is a first time editor. You absolutely, you know, you've got a resource very close to you that does a show with you that I'm sure if right. he didn't give you tips, I'd be surprised. And he's absolutely allowed to give you tips. I'd be worried that he'd try and sabotage your
YouTube's either really basically friendly or like super. Hey, go get Adobe Audition. There's really like a middle ground. So there was some help, but I definitely spent like 2 to 3 days watching stuff to learn how to do even just the basic stuff I did.
Do you feel like you're more comfortable with it now?
I mean, for basic, yes, absolutely. Yeah. For the level that I created, I'll be honest, if I go out this week, that's okay. I'm really proud of myself. So I created the best thing I could do out of the fact that, yeah, I was limited in time and created something that at the end of the day, I'm kind of proud of. So
if I were to tell you that the next two challenges are doing editing on some of Justin Robert Young's shows, would you just quit the competition right here and now?
I'm not good at bleeping, so maybe yes.
Dude, I'd quit the competition if that's I'm not even in it.
I bleeped out silence the first time. It's not, it's no joke. It would not go well.
Oh, actually, that's actually pretty effective, though, right? You can make it sound like your interview subject is swearing up a storm when they're not. I think that's a great, great technique. I'm going to do that with some of Hammond's stuff. Let's go ahead and get to the reviews. We're going to start this time with the aforementioned Justin.
All right. So I was not a gigantic fan of this, but I think the larger issue is something that happened with this and another show. And it boils down to this. Who's the host of the podcast? Because we have a really, really good stuff from you. On this subject, Kristen, we have a good point of view. We have something that it comes through raw in your voice that you feel a kinship with the subject here. And yet Joe is the one asking the questions and you are not involved. So on an organizational level, the question has to be, are you the narrator? Are you the host? Is Joe the correspondent? Is Joe the host? And are you just there to carry things along? Because we kind of get both as we go along. So, you know, this would have been better for me if it felt you had the opportunity to make this you having a great and impactful conversation with your subject. Now, that would have been... that would have required you to make the decision that what I know and what the audience is going to hear are two different things. I know that I didn't really sit down in this interview, but you have an opportunity to make that sound like what it was and get everything, that raw emotion that you have in there, put that on display clearer. So that's my big gripe with what you turned in.
All right, thank you, Justin. Scott,
I was okay with this one. I have some of the same kind of issues, but I also think it's a difficult creative choice. What we had basically this week was two teams who made a distinct decision to not have Joe be part of any of the vocal. Like, he just was sort of, and this happens a lot, by the way, with like shows on NPR or something. They'll send people out and do their interviews and then they'll come back, and in editing and other things, they sort of, they're not creating a fake interview for a person that wasn't there necessarily, but they eliminate that person who went out to do this as part of the narrative. And the narrative is just sort of brought back to the answers and restating of the questions. And there's that choice, or there's the choice to have Joe be a part of it. And I can't honestly say that if I was in your position, I would have. I think I would have gone sixes. I think I would have felt like either way was an okay way to go. I think it's almost like in retrospect, it's less effective to have Joe as a competing voice for you as the host. Because I also agree with Justin. I think you had some really good stuff to say, and it just got not lost, but a little bit muddied in the confusion about who's asking, when are they asking, why are they asking, and the difference in cadence, like your tone and cadence and rhythm was different than his. It's not to say that yours is bad or his is bad. It just didn't match. And it kind of threw me. I think that his actual, I mean, knowing this was your first real edit, I think that's important in this evaluation, because I'm actually very impressed to hear that this hard stuff. And I, you know, having done enough of it, I know kind of what you're up against, especially if it was kind of your really first time diving in there. So it's a lot. It's easy for all of us to say, oh, yeah, these edits. But, you know, if it's your first time, that's a big deal. And so I would actually say props and points for that. I think Ashley and Jason, the bits you included of them were great. They were good parts to use. Especially if you want to know more about these guys, which is kind of maybe the point of a show like this, is to learn about them. You know, we've already had one show that we've talked about that was about a subject matter and not necessarily about the people who were being interviewed. This was more about those being interviewed. And I think you did a good job of pulling out the parts that made the most sense or gave me the most interest in what they were doing, what Ashley and Jason are up to these days. Yeah, the back and forth just kind of distracted me, though, between the two hosts. And I think it took it down a few notches. But there were parts of this I really liked. And a big part of it is your approach, your take, your cadence, your tone. I think you clearly put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this. And that part shows, I think, maybe just in a, you know, in a production planning meeting down the road, somebody might say, yeah, we tried that. And now what we're going to do is, you know, we're not, the person we're putting out on the scene is not going to be in the thing. We're just going to take these answers and build a narrative out of it. And you'd do just as well or better.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Scott. Joe also had some comments on this one.
So, Kristen, your infrastructure was strong. I think your intro had great research and you really framed the show well. But for the audio that you had, your choice of focus hurt you a little bit. So Ashley is really compelling and the concept had a lot of great potential, but because our interview was rambling all over the place, when you just focused on the one person instead of on a specific concept or content, then your show ended up being kind of rambling too. It was just Ashley's rambling instead of Jason and Ashley's rambling. It hurts to say this a little bit, but you probably could have cut me out a few times. There are times where you introduced an idea and then I came on and said the introduction of that idea in my question, where you could have just cut me off. And, you know, I don't tell people that very often. I think tightening that up would have benefited your show. I think a great job acknowledging and including Jason, even though he wasn't the focus, but letting him know, you know, saying that he was there as part of the interview and that he's part of the story as well. I think that was really great.
So very good. Thank you, Kristen. We'll talk to you in a little bit. And we're going to move on to Gabriel, your partner in crime. All right, Gabriel, lay it on the line. How much did you help Kristen with the editing?
Before I even say anything, I, for what it's worth, because I am just about as novice as a editor as well, I'm super proud of her. I thought she was going to quit at one point, and she sent a message of like, I don't know if I could do this. And I'm like, just take a deep breath, focus. Oh. So the fact that she got it done, she gave me a couple phone calls. I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah, it's definitely a, hey, how do I move this? How do I not bleep silence? But no, I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of help, but she just kind of did the research herself and sat down and just muscled up and spent some seriously late nights getting it done. Good. So I'm super proud.
And we are too. And I don't think it needs to be said again, Kristen, thank you for persevering and kind of overcoming that, that big hurdle that we know you had going into this. And, thank you for not quitting. Very, very.
Depending how this goes, she's going to do my editing from now on. So.
Excellent. All right. So we're talking about dynamic duos and tell me the concept behind your show.
So I kind of went the other way, where I just decided to play the, because I also asked on what were the stipulations of this particular contest or this particular this week, and I went with the letter of the rule. Again, I'm a longtime board gamer, and I know how those rules lawyers work. So I went by the letter of the rule and went, I am an editor, I am as little of a voice as possible, and I need to put this together to make it sound, no matter how bad and rambly and Joe was, to try to put it together and make it a cohesive story of some sort. And so I focused on dynamic duos and, you know, pairs, couples, teams in podcasting, and focused
on a clever concept. But so let me ask you this, Monopoly, are you for or against putting money on free parking and collecting that if you land on it?
I'm for it.
Okay. All right. So there's some rules you're okay breaking. I see. I see how it goes.
Absolutely.
Gabriel. All right. It was interesting to see kind of the gamut this week of shows where they took Joe out completely and other shows where they kept the meat of the interview, Joe and Ashley and Jason all together in the show. So it was good to see one where you kept as much of it in there as possible. Let's go ahead and get to the judge's review. We're going to start this time with Scott.
I prefer the method of it's Joe, but he's not there, Joe. And this is no offense to Joe. Joe's awesome. I just mean from a composition standpoint and point of view, I've really leaned at this particular case to Joe should not be heard. And I think I didn't know it was a setup until Brian told us.
Oh, really? Okay, so you were surprised by that too.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was surprised at first. It started to seep in, and I was like, oh, sure. Wait a minute. Something's fishy here. Because he was way better last year. When I first heard Dr. Joe, I was like, wait.
We had a Dr. Joe. Jerry. That's a crap,
yeah. Yeah, I was struggling there for a bit. And so knowing what I know about it now, I think I'd still go that way. Like a lot of times if you send somebody out in the field to get a bunch of questions, they'll come back and then you'll edit together something that's better than it would be just in its raw form. And in this particular case, it felt like it was maybe capped, like almost kind of a loaf of bread. You made really good end pieces. And then the middle bit was just the interview, you know, well edited. Credit where it's due. It was well edited, but it didn't feel like much more than here's the raw stuff. Now put it in a decent amount of kind of order here, and now here's the two end pieces in there, and there's your show. It's a serviceable way to do it, I think, but it just landed on me a little bit less. And that might be because I'm comparing it to some of the other things that were submitted this week, and I kind of like some of the other approaches a little bit more to the same material. So it's just kind of like running the interview, and if it was even, you know, there's any criticisms I had of Kristen's edit, I would say were more prevalent here. But for what it's supposed to be, I guess it's fine. I just couldn't give it the highest marks this week, but, you know, it technically proficient. I'll give it that.
Very good. Justin.
This is the reason why the decisions on whether or not you're going to put Joe in the episode are important, because this challenge is about editing. Editing is about choices. Choices are guided by concept. So if you're not thinking from the very beginning, this is what I want to do, and then making even harder decisions to trim things closer and closer to the bone, then you're not doing your job. And I felt that this was the largest example of that. I totally agree with Scott. I think that there was just way too much of, like, I mean, there's a version of this where you can say, where you can just be the announcer that wraps around on either end and you can just edit together a super tight interview. But we went back and forth because I don't think that the concept was particularly coherent, and I don't think that the execution was there. And beyond that, and this is just a larger thing, but I you know, Brian, you said that the dynamic duo things is a clever concept. And
I agree.
It can be clever, but for me, and this is maybe I'm guilty of trying to look 100 episodes down the road immediately. I don't know unless this is all about, and I don't think the material that Joe had lent to this, if it was all about just like, all right, here's a creative, an example of our creative process. They did some basics of like, oh, we like to watch TV and pitch to each other what we would do, but not like a nitty gritty. All right, episode 4 of Red Shirt Diaries. I wanted to do this. She wanted to do that. Here's how we broke it down. If you want to get into the real nitty gritty, then I get that. But that's really hard to do.
Gotcha.
And I don't know if that's sustainable. And I didn't really, I don't know. I did not appreciate the dynamic duos thing, just because I think that that's how many people are in a collaboration is just, to me, limiting. And it's not the most interesting a thing that I would want to follow. Nobody is going to download a show and say, oh, I want to listen to the creative process, but only if it's two people. They want to hear about comic books, or they want to hear about movies, or they want to hear about creativity writ large. I think that's the better way to frame it. That's a minor thing for me, but I just wanted to say that.
That's a really good point. I didn't think about the fact that the show being framed as a dynamic duos podcast, having some examples of why they're great as a duo, what they bring to each other that makes them better.
I mean, it's just a limiting concept initially, to be honest. Like that's what bothers me is that
I don't
it's
know.
Like,
I mean, I think, you know, you give me an episode of where they're talking about two, like a comic artist and a writer who work really well together. I throw out some examples. It won't matter to you, but like Dave Cockrum and Chris Claremont on the X-Men, for example.
I get it.
I'd love to hear why those two work so well together.
And you can do a thing on collaboration, but dynamic duos to me just feels limiting. And
too limiting. Okay.
That's just my thought on it.
Gotcha. all right, let's get to Joe's comment.
Gabe, so here we go with Dr. Joe is going to be my new ringtone. I loved that.
Fantastic.
the episode was kind of, it was a magpie episode for me. You know, magpies go and collect little shiny things. You pulled a lot of shiny things out of the audio. A lot of really good content. It was a lot of the most authentic moments in our little charade. And you did some great edits to get them in there. The Red Shoe Diaries, Red Shirt Diaries thing, where that correction from Ashley was after our recording. She did that after the recording ended and, you know, corrected that little bit. You plugged that in there so nicely. The Uatu the Watcher, I mispronounced 6 times, and you smoothed through that very nicely. You put these nice, shiny things in there, but the audience doesn't see that work, right? And so the judges really don't see that work either. They only see the finished product, and the finished product was a lot of shiny little pieces, but didn't feel well put together. It didn't feel like there was enough structure built around the audio.
Makes sense. Let's go ahead and thank you, Gabriel. We will move on to our last of the 4, over to Bobby and Making Your Mark. Hello, Bobby.
Hello.
Tell me about the concept behind Making Your Mark.
The show Making Your Mark is sort of like the intended audience is creators and makers, content creators or makers or people who are, like the title implies, trying to make their mark in the world and just talking about that process and sometimes talking to those types of people just about like how we creators go about creating, like and what we do and so, sort of like partly motivational for creators, partly, you know, like you would listen to it as a creator to get, you know, motivation and inspired and stuff.
I got the impression from the title that it would be, you're saying it'd be all creators, so podcasters as well. I was thinking, oh, Making Your Mark, you know, artists and people who do that kind of creation. So that's the angle that I was coming to it from just based on the title. But
podcasters are artists too.
Well, you know, I can't argue with that, especially on a show like this. I was going to make some snide comment about, well, our judges would be examples of where it's not, but I can't even do that. That's too mean. you've been editing for a while. I'm looking kind of the gamut of experience in editing. I think you, both you and David, have been editing since day one of this competition for each of your teams, correct?
Yeah, because even when David and I were on the Sock Puppets together at the beginning of this competition, he and I often shared editing responsibilities at like different points in the process. He would do some and then hand it off to me and vice versa.
Gotcha. And I mean, I was curious. I can't remember if it came up in our initial conversation about this, but did you edit for somebody else before, like a show, edit somebody else's audio for another show, or am I thinking of something completely different?
No, I've never been the editor on someone else's
gotcha.
Show.
Gotcha. Okay. I must have been thinking about something else. Okay. let's go ahead and get to our judge's review with Justin.
I liked this one. I think that you did the most competent job of weaving in your role in the show and the audio that you got. About 75% of the way through, I think you kind of fell in love with the audio. And that is the biggest thing that I think you really need to learn in editing is like, it's not whether or not you enjoy it. It's not whether or not you smile. The instincts that you have to develop are, yes, it's going to hurt to cut this, but everything is going to go faster and sound better. That's my only complaint, though. Other than that, I think you did a good job.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I know exactly what you mean. Swords, the latter half, I think I started to lose sight of the like the focus of what I was doing a little bit, and I started to become a little more interested in their interchange, the two of them, instead of doing what I said.
And that's the thing, again, it's like, it's not that that's bad. In fact, it's not that what anybody did here this week is bad, right? They're all good moments. The reason why I'm being harsher this week is because that is the very soul of this challenge, was you have to make the cuts. You have to shave it down as far as it can. I would, even one that I wasn't in love with, I'll reward it for being shorter just because... at the very least, you just know that there was a very dialed in sense. And that's the only thing, is that it wound up becoming a much chattier podcast at the end, where before, every time we went back to the interview, there was an informative point that was made.
Interesting. Okay. Let's go over to Scott.
Well, that would be me. All right, Bobby. You did great this week, and I liked it a lot. The editing was strong. I will agree with Justin on length, but again, these things are, you know, we're 15 minutes feels like not enough time sometimes. Sometimes less than that feels like, you know, what are we even doing? Like we're cutting everything out. I rewarded one of the shows earlier for making a really strong editorial choice and hacking off a big chunk of content in order to maintain focus. And I think this could have used a little bit of that, but I also think you dug up some of the best details about the Red Shirt Diaries, a thing that nobody else really focused on. And I think is an interesting thing to focus on for anyone who listens to this, not just people who maybe know who Ashley and Jason are. And I think that's hard to do. The Red Shirt Diaries is a thing that's a little obscure outside of our circles. And so introducing it to people is a kind of a hard thing. And I think your use of clips from there was a genius pull, was super smart, fit right in, really well edited. And it made me excited about that series again, which is weird because I'm even in that series as a voice. Right. But it got me all stoked about it again. I was like, oh man, they did such great work with that. I wonder if they'll ever, you know, come back and do another season or something. And you really got me going with that. And that's great. I didn't know that Captain Riker thing was even a thing. And is it or is that part of the fake out? I don't know.
That's true, I guess. The Borg thing, they were going to kill off Riker or kill off Picard at the end of the Borg season, or when he turns into Locutus. maybe not kill him off, but they were going to basically pull him off the Enterprise, and Riker was going to become the captain, and they were going to continue on with
maybe that. Later down the road, yeah, Picard would come back or whatever.
Probably kind of like Yar did. And
sounds like what they did is they compressed that down to about two episodes instead of stretching it over seasons. But I didn't know. Like, that was
totally news
to me, and nobody else really used that bit in that way. And I appreciated that because it just shocked me. And I consider myself a pretty, you know, well-studied Trek person. And that just was like a totally unknown to me. So that was really cool and was a nice surprise. I think maybe toward the end, things got a little too emotive, maybe a little too melodramatic for my taste. But again, that's kind of what the show is. It's to, you know, help creators find their vision. And you've got I think you've got a good approach to that sort of stuff, generally speaking. So it's probably fine here, and I'm nitpicking, but overall, I think it was an excellent entry this week, and especially once I found out that this interview was a bit staged. You did really good stuff with the pieces you were given. I think that was a tricksy little trick Brian pulled, and I think you rose above it. So well done.
Thank you.
We're going to have to ask Daryl about that Riker thing, because I say that wasn't planned or that wasn't staged. It wasn't one of the things that we had on our list of things that we'd stage in the interview.
Right.
But I don't know. Now that I'm looking it up online, I'm like, all right, let's see. Is there any information about that?
We live in the age of misinformation, so I could easily run with this and start spreading rumors, and it would probably hold as truth. But yeah, right. Maybe I'll check with Daryl first.
Right, before we run with this and create a whole podcast based around it, let's check with the Trekner before that.
Good idea.
Joe also had some comments.
Bobby, so I mentally prepared myself to not be on a submission or two. I did not mentally prepare myself to not be on my favorite submission. And this was my favorite. You built a story with the audio content, and you included the audio from the Red Shirt Diaries in a way that was really great and showed a little extra effort. And even when you pulled their audio into your introduction, before we knew who they were, you had them speaking to the audience. I thought that was really great. I particularly want to call out one of the edits you did, Ashley's story in the comic book store. That was two different questions.
Oh, I'm glad someone noticed.
Right. That Ashley said, how did you meet? Or I said, how did you meet? And then Ashley told that story and she mentioned and I dove into that detail because I thought that would be interesting. And she shared that detail, but there was time in between there, and your edit pulled them together nicely again to tell the story in a nice continuous way. If I had some feedback, the bit about the Xena reboot, you weren't the only one that included this, but that felt a little, and it was a little bit unnecessary, the point where we got to the F-bombs in there about, you know, stuff being effing cool. That could have easily been left off. It didn't add anything to the show, and it kind of felt like an odd sideline. Oh, and one last thing I really do appreciate, even when you pulled me out of the show, giving me that shout-out at the end, letting people know that I was part of the process.
That reminds me, and I didn't say it, but what you did is made us a couple of the shows this week made a editorial choice to lock Joe out of the audio. And you did it because it was the right move. And it's a hard move, and it's a move you have to question yourself about, and you have to go, well, wait, am I supposed to, is that okay? He did this work. What you did was exactly the right edit. That's what hard edit means. It's what editors do to book writers. And book writers hate it. They lose whole chapters because of this, but it's the right thing to do for the content you're trying to produce. And then you give him credit at the end because he does deserve it. That was great.
Agreed.
That was exactly how that should go.
For sure. Yep. Very good. Thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you in a minute as well. Let's get to the part of the show where we award the top. I say the top team. I'm so used to saying teams. Scott, I think even at one point you said teams during this thing.
Yeah,
they're individuals. Probably. They're individuals now. I got to remember that. We're going to award the outstanding individual for this week who produced the podcast that our judges like best. By the way, we also brought in Joe this time as a scoring judge, which we don't normally do, but because we had Jenny out, we decided we wanted those additional scores to be locked in. So we got Joe's scores as well. And based on the scores that we received, Bobby, congratulations. Making the Mark was the favorite podcast this week. Well done, sir.
Thank Thank you very much.
Jury, Scott, some things that people need to take home from this. Like, what is the top thing that Bobby did that is a is the lesson that listeners should take home from this week?
I can start. Yeah. Clarity of vision. You know what I'll take a guess, Bobby, but Bobby knew what the podcast was supposed to be and then assembled it. When you were talking about editing, that's the point, is have the vision in mind and then put things together, mm-hmm. as opposed to trying to find your way amongst the audio. That's the surest fire way that you're not going to be able to confidently tell a story to the end user.
Right. Yes, I did that. And to say something that I failed on, which again comes back to what you said about my submission just a little bit ago, Justin, was that that's the mistake I made, was I kind of, after doing that, had bits of audio that I tried to make fit that vision, and I probably should have just figured out the story I was telling, which I did, but just start there and only include the audio that told that story. I think at the end, that's the problem.
Well, and this is something that you just get better at the more you do it, but what you have to do is channel your inner listener.
Yeah.
Right now, you guys are in creator mode. You've been in creator mode. You are demonstrating a level of dexterity and skill that few people would ever need to show in this realm of creation. But at the same time, at a certain point, you got to listen to it and honor every time you're checking your watch or looking to open Twitter while you're listening to your audio and being like, oh, like, am I doing that just because I've heard it a million times, or is it because this is boring or this doesn't connect, or I'm waiting for something else to get there? If you find yourself waiting, oh, I can't wait until this other part comes up, think about cutting the stuff in between and just seeing whether or not it fits. Because if it fits, then you might have just found a far superior version of the product. But Bobby, I think you did a great job. By and large, you deserve to win.
Thank you.
Very good. Scott, anything to add?
I wouldn't add much except to say one of the benefits that Bobby has is something he's naturally good at, but also he's naturally good at it because I can tell he's practiced at it. And that is his just natural reading style. It just never feels like you're reading. It feels like you're talking from the gut, even though I know you're not in a lot of cases. I mean, some cases you are, depending on the show structure. But in this particular one, it just sounds like it's coming off of you. And that is so hard to do without tons and tons of practice. So whether you're coming at it naturally or this is just built in over you over time, I think that is the thing just to pay attention to and aspire to. As just a skill to have. Like, it'll not only help in this competition, but help in podcasting in general. It'll help in broadcasting. It'll help in communication with human beings. And it's a hard thing to replicate.
Thank you.
Very good. Excellent. Yeah, I think you might be getting looked up by listeners and maybe even remaining contestants on helping with editing through the rest of this competition. So set your prices high, Bobby. Set them high. Very good. All right, now the tough part here, and down to the final four. We're about to make it the final three. Unfortunately, it does mean we do have to lose somebody out of this competition, and this was the closest margin we have had yet so far this season. 1 point basically differentiated third place from fourth place this week, and I'm afraid the person that we're going to be saying goodbye to this time around is Gabriel. I'm sorry, Gabriel. I could tell from our Discord chat you kind of expected this. You've already said goodbye to me, which, for listeners, we have a Discord chat for players, and he's already sent a message to me saying goodbye. See ya.
Actually, I was talking to myself, but close enough.
Oh, you were okay. So I think the overall, and going from the notes that we talked about before the show today. The biggest issues were that the judges were really looking for you to think outside the box, come up with something a little more unique to frame the show instead of keeping so much of the interview with Joe and Jason and Ashley. Anything to add, Jury and Scott?
Scott, you go ahead.
Not from my end so much. I would just say I'll say this. I'm going to miss your particular sound and cadence. I think it's wholly unique in this competition. This was true of Jen as well. And one of the reasons I miss her in the competition is you guys just have a voice and a style that makes you unique, and you don't blend in with a million other voices. And it's, that'll be, the competition's lost to not have that kind of diversity in voice. So I would say, you know, from here on out, don't let, well, we say this kind of stuff every week and it starts to sound like platitudes, but I think you've got a future in this stuff, and I think you got a great voice for it, and I would hope and recommend you keep cranking on it, because I know I'll miss it, so it'd be nice if it was somewhere else.
Thank you kindly, sir. I appreciate it.
Without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Jerry, anything to add?
You know, obviously you don't get to this stage in the process unless you're really talented. Gabriel, you're intensely talented. If there's anything that I think you can take away from this, is that I would actually kind of say it's the opposite of what Brian just said, where we wanted you to think outside the box. What I think you can't go wrong with in editing is being simple and plain. Right. Like there is a, you know, a classic for a reason sensibility to just a very cleanly edited, you know, coherent thing. And that's something where I know for myself, you know, God, the things I've had to scrap. In fact, I feel like I turned a corner as a podcaster when I built up the ability to listen to something that I'd put a ton of time and effort into and say, this isn't what I want it to be. I got to do it again. And that's hard. It sucks. It is among the biggest, you know, it feels like a betrayal of your own effort, but the closer you can get to that, the better you're going to be, because those often, in hindsight, are the most important decisions that you can make.
Very true.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And before we move on to talking about next week's challenge, Kristen, let me have you unmute yourself real quick. You can't use any of this. Yes. To pick on Gabriel for at least a month. You've got to wait until mid-December before you can start.
Oh, no.
3 days before he can start rubbing his.
He gets 3 days. 3 days. That's it.
I don't even get that. I have a. I think she's got a like a can of Daisy Cutter or some nasty IPA I have to drink now.
Did you guys really have like a an internal bet?
If she went out before me,
did have a bet.
She drinks a shot of Malort. If I go out before her, I have to drink one of the funkiest. I hate IPAs. I hate high IBU beers. So that'll be my probably Daisy Cutter. Looks like going to be my punishment.
Oh my God, Kristen, you lucked out. I don't know if you've had Malort, but you absolutely lucked out.
I unfortunately have.
She's a Chicago one. If I could yeah. say too, on Jerry's point,
yes.
Kristen is probably the most susceptible to this as well, knowing me. That's kind of how I am in terms of simplicity and clean and like straight, well, not clean, but straightforward and direct. I think even when her and I did our show together, that was one of our main focuses, to keep things clean, keep things simple, keep things forward. I think I leaned a little too much on that for myself for that, which totally understanding. And to, you know, obviously we're down to the last four or now three who are very outside the box and creative thinkers, which is another reason why I have Kristen on my show. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So again, thank you all. Awesome. Love it.
Well, very cool. Well, we love having you here, and I know we're going to be hearing way more from you in the future, Gabriel. So keep up the great work. Let's get to next week's challenge. I'm sure you guys are all waiting to hear what this is. So if you look at what we've done so far, we've given you an interview subject with Ptolemy. We've given you someone else's interview with Joe, Jason, and Ashley. And now we want you to come up with your own. Yeah, we're going to be bringing back a challenge from last season because it was an amazing opportunity for all those players to showcase their talents in all areas, coordinating, planning, conducting, and editing an interview. Like last season, we want you to swing for the fences. We want you to avoid interviewing family members, friends, colleagues, etc. We want you to interview somebody that you don't already have on your contact list or among your Facebook friends. Put together your short list of people that you've always wanted to interview, all levels, and reach out to them. The worst that can happen is a no, and last season, Amy, Alex, and Gidget were all able to score some fantastic interviews through this. Now, we know that this can take a while, so we want to give you the same two-week deadline that we gave our final three last season. But that would mean that we're going to be putting the final challenge over the week of Thanksgiving. So in the spirit of the holidays, we're actually going to give you 3 weeks to complete this challenge. Use that time to land a great interview, and more importantly, use that time to spend some quality time with your friends and family who've been so patient with you so far through this whole process. Once again, 15-minute cutoff. Do you guys have any questions?
Oh my gosh.
And then statements, there were questions. Three.
Not currently.
That's right. You guys be thinking about who your dream interviews are, and maybe Jury and Scott have some advice.
Well, just don't ask us if we're your dream interview. I kid. No, I think we're at the stage where I don't have any. I think everybody kind of knows the stakes at this point and what needs to happen for this, some of this final stuff. So I would just say rely on the strengths and the things that we pointed out. Take the advice that you've been given, and I don't know, show us what you got in this next one. I'm really excited about it.
Shoot your shot. Somebody is going to book their way to the finals with an email that they could send in the next hour. This is going to be dependent on you guys going out and finding somebody that is going to wow us as judges. And one of you guys will do it. Last year it happened where Amy Frost got somebody from Blizzard, which, like, all my friends that do actual Blizzard podcasts can't pull that off within like 4 months. And she got it on like, 2 weeks notice for a game show. Like, that was insane. Right. And she went to the final. She wound up winning. This is crucial. I'm going to challenge all of you to do this. Send emails tonight. Just wild ass email. Emails that guests that would never do this. Shoot your shot tonight, because it doesn't matter if you know exactly what you want to do. It doesn't matter if you know the questions you're going to ask. If you can get wheels in motion as soon as possible, you're going to be in a much better position. So, I mean, if I were you guys, two dozen emails just scattered around the internet looking for somebody to give you 15 minutes.
Very good. Thank you so much, Justin and Scott, for your advice there. Contestants, good luck. We'll talk to you in 3 weeks. This has been Brian Ibbett on behalf of everybody here at ANTP, Alex and his interviews, Monica for her social media mavenship, and Andrew Allen for his music, Hammond for his editing. This is Brian Mitt saying thank you. We'll see you next time right here on America's Next Top Podcaster.
That brings us to the end of another episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Join us next time as Bobby, Kristen, and David wow us with their interview skills. But before we go, let's hear from this week's eliminated contestant, Gabriel.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for joining us on America's Next Top Podcaster. This is your eliminated contestant, Gabriel Rodriguez, better known as Dusty Red from the Grey Muzzle Geekery podcast. Scott Johnson, Jenny Josephson, and Justin Robert Young are our judges, and Tom Merritt is our coach. Hammond Chamberlain is our producer, and Brian Ibbett is both our executive producer and our host. Monica Stone is our social media coordinator. And be sure to listen for follow-up interviews with Alex Labrisu. Our music is by Andrew Allen, and be sure to find him online at andrewallenmusic.com. To learn more about this podcast, visit americasnexttoppodcaster.com. Follow us on Twitter at Podcasting Idol, and discuss the game with other fans on Facebook at facebook.com/americasnexttoppodcaster.